You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I might be a walking example, but I'm still a work in progress. Just going to carefully try and remove this without... Right. Good morning. Good to see you guys. Hope you're well. Coping with the cold now. That's it for 6 months. Okay. I'm going to start this morning by reading a prayer. And then we're going to have a look a little more at that prayer. You can see there it's John 17. And it's called the High Priestly Prayer, which we'll come to in a minute. I'm just going to read it first. Okay? So this is Jesus praying. But this is his prayer. So let's just listen to what he prayed. So after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. It's an incredible prayer. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look a little more closely at that prayer because of the person who prayed it. Now, over many years of my Christian walk, I have had to learn, and I still don't always get it right, that the length of my prayers doesn't determine the depth of my prayers. And I certainly know, when I was a young Christian, I felt the longer I prayed, the better it was. Only to find out eventually when people would tell me, "Tone, cut it down." Yeah? It's not about the length. It's about the depth. It's about the weight of what we pray. Charles Spurgeon said this, I think it's on there. "Some brethren pray by the yard, but true prayer is measured by weight and not by length." And it's something we can always learn, isn't it? So over the next few weeks, as I said, we're going to look at and delve into what is for many the greatest prayer ever prayed. And it may not be huge in length, but there is certainly a great depth to what was prayed. And probably more weight and more depth than any other prayer in the 650 prayers that are in the Bible. As it says there, it's known as the high priestly prayer because it's prayed by Jesus. And Jesus is our great high priest. And so this was considered to be called the high priestly prayer because he is standing in the gap. He is there. He hasn't yet gone to heaven. And he's there and he's standing in the gap between his disciples and us, the church, and his Father God. He's standing in the gap. He's interceding on our behalf. He's imploring, he's pleading with God the Father. And he's still doing it now. We'll come to that in a little while. But what I want to do this morning is, in a sense, give an overview of the prayer. Okay, I'm not going to delve too deeply into it, but I want us to get a picture of what this prayer is all about. Why this prayer, I believe, is so important for us to get to grips with, to get to understand. Why did he pray it? What was he praying? You see, at this point in time, Jesus is praying. As he's praying, he's revealing to those around him in particular, because he wanted them to hear what he was saying. Otherwise, he wouldn't have got it recorded. So they were there with him. They heard this prayer. And he was revealing that his ministry on earth was coming to an end and that his ministry in heaven was about to start. But it also reveals the mission of the church, and that's for us. So what is it that makes this prayer so special? What is it that makes this prayer stand out above all others? Well, firstly, like I said, it's the person who prayed it. Jesus Christ himself. You see, when a person who has true authority, who has true wisdom, who has true position and power speaks, should we not listen? Should we not, okay, he's speaking. I need to hear this. This is important. This is something I need to really understand. So the person himself who prays this prayer gives it a sense of weight and authority. So who was this person? Well, if we just look at John, the Gospel of John, it is full of Jesus. What I mean, so if we look here, if we just put on to the next slide. So the person who prayed this prayer was with God in the beginning. The person who prayed this prayer was God. Came down as man, but he was God. God was praying this prayer. He was the creator of all things. He was the light of men. And all this is just from John. This is just purely revelation that John had. He became flesh and dwelt among men. And throughout it, he was proclaimed as the Word. He was the Word. He was the Lamb of God. And we know the Lamb of God was that sacrificial lamb. He was the King of Israel. He was the promised Messiah. He was the bread of life, the light of the world, the great I Am, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. This is the person who prayed this prayer. And that's why it carries such weight for us. The greatest person who ever lived offered this prayer to God the Father. So that's one reason why I think it's good to look at this prayer. Second reason why I think it's good to look at this prayer is the occasion of the prayer, when it was prayed. You see, occasions provide weight to words. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard this saying, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Who said that? Neil Armstrong. Now, he said that. Can you imagine him saying that while he was going? If he was playing hopscotch with his children and he went, that's one small step for mankind, one giant leap, or whatever it is. Can you imagine? They'd go, yeah, all right. Okay, you know, the occasion adds weight to what we say. Because the occasion of when he said that was actually stepping out or down onto the moon's surface for the first time ever. The occasion carried, you know, what he said carried weight because of the occasion of when he was saying it. So what was the occasion? What was going on at the time? Well, the very first words that Jesus prayed was, Father, the hour has come. The occasion. Well, what hour is that? This is just before his appointment with the cross. That's the occasion. And that is why this carries so much weight. The hour had come. The hour when he would be separated, betrayed, suffer, and be crucified. The hour in which God's eternal purpose is about to be carried out. You know, we're singing there and talking about, you know, ashes into in. So all this sort of stuff, this complete change around. This incredible change that came about that we can all claim and live in. This, you know, coming out of the grave, this everything about it. We can only do that because this is the occasion at which the cross enabled it to happen. So God's eternal purpose is about to be completed at this point. And Jesus is about to bear the sin of the world on the cross. So this is if they call that the crux. This is the crux of human history. Just about to happen. The cross. But the occasion is incredible. And that's what gives weight to what he prays. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a situation where I'm afraid, concerned, not sure what's going to happen, challenged, overwhelmed, finding things impossible, what I would then pray is more likely to be my angst. Out of my angst, you don't get that? Out of my concern, out of my own worry. Jesus didn't pray like that. And so what we get in this prayer is a revelation of what really was going on in his heart. What really mattered to him. Now, I know that he goes on at some point and he talks about, you know, taking the cup and he has his doubts and he has his concerns and he has all of those things that are going on, yeah? All this stuff, this turmoil in his own, you know, thinking. But at this point, with this prayer, he's really truly revealing what's in his heart. And so that's why it's so important, I believe, to look at it at this time. Because with all that he's about to face, the most important thing on Jesus' mind, his deepest concern, was the glory of the Father and the mission of the church. If you read through that prayer, which we will be doing, it was all about glorifying the Father and enabling the church to fulfill its mission. It's also a great prayer because of what he prayed, the content, okay? And it deals with some incredible themes, again, which we're going to touch on over the next few weeks, okay? We're going to be looking at some of these, because if they're important to Jesus, if they're so important to Jesus that he prayed into them, they must be important for us to take notice of. Because he was praying for us. So what were some of the themes? Well, firstly, I think again these are on here, back to eternity. So he looks at eternity, it's this thing called eternity. And we're going, well, what is eternity? What does that mean? He talks about eternity. We're going to look at eternity. And he looks at the future glory of in heaven. And it deals with glory. There's a lot in there about glory. The glory of the Father and the Son. The disciples glorifying God on earth. The Son giving glory to his disciples. And the disciples beholding the glory of the Son. We're going to look at glory. What is this all about? What is that going on here? It talks about and discusses love. The Father's love for believers and the Father's love for Jesus. It also talks about the need to know that love, live in that love. So we're going to look at that. It contains some great petitions where Jesus is just really saying, God, will you do this? He says, glorify me. He says, keep them. Sanctify them. That they all might be one. That they may behold my glory. So he has some great petitions, great time. He's just, God, this is what I really want to see happen. And while he expresses concern for his disciples and for the world, he also reveals the victory that will come through the cross. He talks about being in the world, but not of the world. And he also talks about the fact that there's going to be, you know, in a way, it's not going to be easy. You know, I'm going, but sorry, guys, you're still here. So he's concerned for the church because the church is what remains on earth. Oh, that's us. He recognizes and understands there's going to be a battle. He recognizes and understands that that while Satan is defeated, he's not yet, you know, in a sense, doesn't he know it yet? He's still fighting, even though he has lost. And Jesus knows that. And he says, guys, I know I've left you. I know you're on your, in a sense, but you're not on your own. I know that. I'm with the Father and I'm praying for you. For your protection. For your safety. Because I know it's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy for him. And he was God walking on earth as a man. So he understands that. And he knows what the world is like. He knows that the world is deceived. But then he shows us the reality by revealing God in all his, in all who he is, the one true God. He knows the world is dangerous, but he provides the security that we need. He knows the world is defiled, but he provides sanctification through his word. And he knows that the world is divided. Oh boy, is not this world divided? But he offers unity through his glory. So this prayer brings focus and clarity to what is important to us. It reveals his heart and his motivation. And it reveals, in a way, what we should be focusing on because he prayed it for us. He prayed it for you and he prayed it for me. He prayed for the church to glorify the Father. So if he prayed for the church to glorify the Father, surely we must therefore endeavor to glorify the Father in everything we do. That's part of why we're here, to bring him glory. He prays for our sanctification. So we've got to try and seek to be holy in all we do, set apart. And we'll look at that. He prays for unity. So we must always fight for unity. He prays for our protection. So we must endeavor to live and stay under his wing as much as possible. He prays for joy. So we've got to try and live in that joy that he's prayed for us. It also reveals that the mission of the church, us here, is central to the relationship that the Father and the Son have between each other. Because Jesus is praying to the Father for us and all who believe, so that his mission to bring glory to God and for all men to believe and be saved can continue. Why we're here. So the gifts we exercise, the prayers we offer, the proclamations we share, the compassion, the mercy we endeavor to show people, all flow from this moment, just before Calvary, as he presents the church to God. That these guys, Lord, protect them, help them, sanctify them. Give them your joy. Let them know your love. Because they've got a mission to fulfill. And they need to have that. So when we pray, when we look into this prayer, let's be in no doubt just how much Jesus really cares for us. That's why he prayed it. Because that was his motivation. His motivation is his love for you and his love for me. His love for the church and his love for the world. That was his motivation. That's why he was prepared to go to the cross, despite the pain, despite everything that it meant for him He was prepared to do it. And we are each one counted as part of this great congregation of believers that Jesus prayed for. But he didn't just stop there. You see, he's praying right now. Right now. At this very minute. Right now, he is praying for you before the Father. That is incredible. He is interceding for you and for me right now. Says in Hebrews, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. If nothing else, we can stand firm on our faith because we have a great intercessor praying for us before the Father. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Before the cross, Jesus' prime focus was glorifying the Father and interceding for the church. Following his death and following his resurrection, he is now with the Father, interceding for the church. And that's got to give us the confidence we need. Despite our weaknesses, despite our failings, despite when we get it wrong, like I said earlier, we can still approach the throne of grace because of what he has done and because Jesus is continually praying and interceding for each one of us. It's incredible to think we can come before the throne of God. You almost say it and go, really? Really? But we can. We can come before him in prayer. We can come before his throne of grace because Jesus is there saying, yeah, look, the grave clothes aren't on anymore. They've gone. Look, they're clothed in my righteousness. They can come before your throne, Father, because of what I've done. And it is just incredible that we can do that. He is interceding for our victory and our success. I thought it was what Mandy shared this morning about how she felt, and in a sense, the condemnation that came. You see, the devil tries to tell you you're standing alone in your walk of faith. He tries to tempt you to believe that no one is aware of your difficulties, of what you're facing, that you are on your own. As you try and pursue your call. But that just isn't true. Jesus is aware of everything you face. And that is why he's praying for you right now. He knew what the disciples would face. He knew how what they had to, in a sense, deal with and cope with after or when he was on the cross. Think how they felt when they saw him on the cross. It's over. It's finished. Well, that's what he said, but what did they say? Oh, it's over. It's finished. Not in the same way. You know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Many just fled and went away. He knew what they would have to go through. The challenges, the difficulties, which is why he prayed then, which is why he prays now. You see, no one wants you to succeed more than Jesus himself. Because you are here to fulfill what he started. You see, he knows the devil will try to abort your dreams. He knows you will face moments when you're tired, exhausted. He understands the temptations you will face because he's faced them himself. But it says in that Hebrew scripture that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And the word boldly actually has a number of connotations. It's the word parousia, and it's a whole thing of being frank, being forthright, and even outspoken. And it's like you can come before God and say it as it is. He can handle it. Boldly come before the throne. And I can't know about that. But sometimes, you know what? We can. We can be bold. We can say it as it is. Because God knows our heart. He understands us. We haven't got to be timid or fearful. Perfect love casts out fear. And who is the one who has perfect love? Jesus. He loves us perfectly. So we have the love we need to enable us not to be fearful for God. See, as our high priest, Jesus understands everything you and I will ever face. He is our advocate. He is our counselor. He is our attorney. He pleads our case before the Father and lays claim to all the lawful things that we are now able to have. All the promises are yes and amen in Jesus. That's also why he sent his Holy Spirit. You see, even the Holy Spirit, if you think, is interceding on our behalf. Especially when it comes to prayer. So in Romans 8, it says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Do you get times like that? Yeah, my prayer can be very long, full of long words, but doesn't really, even then it doesn't always carry what I really want to say. And sometimes you just can't say anything. You just don't know what to pray. And I'm sure we've all been in situations where I don't know where to start. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the right words should be. Spirit is doing it. Spirit is interceding. The Spirit is there saying, don't worry, I've got it. I've got you. I know what's in here. I know what's in your heart. And I'm before the Father doing it right now for you. It's not about our incredible words or the length of our prayers, like I said. It's about the heart. You see, this prayer revealed Jesus' heart. God knew Jesus' heart because of what he prayed like this. And sometimes God says, yeah, don't worry about what's going on here. It's what's going on here. And I've got that. My Holy Spirit is there, and he's there, and he's interceding, and he's saying it the way that I can't. And that's, again, that's incredible that he's interceding. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit knows the will of God perfectly, because he is God. Jesus knows the will of the Father perfectly, because he is God. So when we are trying to pray, and maybe even sometimes our prayer is wrong or just not quite where it should be, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, but I know what you want. I know. I know the Father's heart. Don't worry. I've got it. John Calvin says this: except we are supported by God's hands, we are soon overwhelmed by innumerable evils. Though we are in every respect weak, and various infirmities threaten our fall, there is yet sufficient protection in God's Spirit to preserve us from falling, and to keep us from being overwhelmed by any mass of evils. God's hands are supporting. Jesus' hands are praying. God's hands are supporting. The Creator of the universe prays for us himself. That should leave us in no doubt that his perfect will for us will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So this prayer is going to, I believe, just really give us an insight into the heart of Jesus. And if we can lay hold of some of the things that he prays into over the next few weeks, it just helps us to understand what we're here for, what it's all about. And also it helps us to give us a focus on the things that we should be praying into: unity, joy, sanctification, protection. All the things that Jesus prayed for, are we searching after those things? Because those are key to help us as the Church of Jesus Christ fulfill the mission he's called us to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Father, I just want to thank you that you are here right now. And you are interceding for each one of us. That Jesus, you are there. Holy Spirit, you are there. And you are, in a sense, saying, hey, Father, come on. Lord, we just thank you that we're not alone. We thank you that despite all the stuff, all the things that are going on in our own lives and the world, you are with us. You are for us. And we just come against any of the lies of the enemy that will say we're on our own. Thank you, Father, that even today you've reminded us that that is not the case. Thank you that today, because of Jesus, we can wear new clothes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. I'll pass you back to...
We've heard a lot. There's a lot there. There's been a lot of stuff going on. You may well have felt God's touch. You had. That may mean you need prayer. That may mean you need to pray for somebody. There's nobody special here. There's nobody like wonderful. Anybody can pray. That's needed. take that opportunity. Maybe that you just need to take some time out this afternoon, this evening, turn the telly off, turn the radio off, whatever. Just think through some things that God's been saying. I'm quite important that you do this one. So you need to take that time. Right, the notices. Wednesday night is high school now, it's 7:30. We're starting at 2 Thessalonians and we'll see where we end up. So that's where we're starting. Next Sunday, no, everybody listen, next Sunday the 20th is an International All Sites Service at Hereford. We can share lunch afterwards. The service starts at 10:30, so you need to set your alarm clock earlier if you're going, so you'll get there as well. There will be no service at the Forbury next week. Can't make it, the service will be streamed as usual, so go to the service website. The 2nd of November, there's a bonfire event near Hereford. There's details in the e-news that came through on Friday with a link to book your tickets. Ladies have their next Stronger Together event at CLC Hereford on 8th of November at 7 o'clock. Again, details and the link are in the e-news. If you don't get the e-news, you're sitting there going, what's he talking about? Then grab me afterwards and we'll get you sorted. That's where you can pick a lot of stuff up. Goes on the WhatsApp group. We don't have any. If you're not signed up, then it's a good thing to get on. Finally, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking part. For being part of our family. Have a nice week. Have a good time. Have a chat. Have some coffee. See you all next time.
Amen. Thank you.